Well, hello, hello. We are here at the end of the show with this week's Inbox, and I have got Wade Brown in the studio with me. Wade, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. Good to be here again.
Very good to have you. He is our resident pastor and heads up all of our thriving pastor efforts, which we're very excited about here at Focus. Following on the heels, of course, we've had H.B. London here in the studio before,
yes.
But he decided to desert us and go to California and do his own thing. So now Wade is
rough life out there, I imagine.
Wade is left ministering to the thousands of pastors that come into our sphere for encouragement, for counseling, for just help as they are attempting to serve their local congregations, really around the world. So a lot that you and your team have going on. So, and when he's not doing that, he has to come into the studio and help weigh in on some of our boundless questions, which you guys so graciously provide for us, our listeners. And this one is going to be a good one. We're going to talk about race right here. So, Wade, here we go. This listener says, I'm a sophomore in a racially diverse college. I'm part of a Christian group, which is non-denominational and is made up of almost all white students. I read verses and sing songs about every tribe, tongue, and nation praising God together, and I wonder why we don't do that now. Why is the church one of the most racially separated places in America? Is this something I should be intentional about changing, or should I just let whatever friendships seem to happen more naturally happen?
What a great question. And Lisa, I so appreciate what I sense to be the heart posture of this one who writes in. And, you know, my prayer would be that my heart would be more sensitive to this on a daily basis. And I want to pick up with the passage of Scripture that this individual refers to, Revelation chapter 7, because this gives us an incredibly beautiful picture of what this individual is referring to. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And John says these words, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And so what we have here is this incredible worship scene that's taken place, and we find this image over and over again, especially in the book of Revelation. And again, this just gives us a powerfully gripping and beautiful image of what it's going to be like, but unfortunately, in a fallen, broken world, we're simply not there yet. And so the question on the table, as the writer has put so eloquently, why is it like this? And, you know, I really think it starts with, I think it starts with us as individuals, Lisa, that we have to integrate in our own individual lives before we can have hopes that the church is going to look like that. And so there's something stirring in this listener's heart, this one who's written in, and I really think he or she's at the point where they would love to do something about it. And here's my encouragement, do something about it. Model what that's supposed to look like. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know, the church transcends the walls of the institutional church. I mean, the brick and mortar, obviously, we can be the church, she can be the church, he can be the church in this group that, you know, that they are a part of right now. And so whether that means continuing to meet together, reach out to individuals in the community, lock arms, lock hearts, model for the capital, you know, C church at large, what this is supposed to look like. I love that kind of thinking.
Yeah, and I think it's great. And what I appreciate about he or she referencing the scripture in Revelation is that we have to realize that it says there will be every tribe, tongue, and nation praising God. God is already doing the work.
No
and
question.
So we don't have to sit here on our college campuses and worry about, are we getting the numbers up or are we doing,
no
you know,
question.
God's
going
to draw people. And
yeah.
I think what you said, Wade, is so good, just to be who we are in Christ and to recognize that Christ himself and the Holy Spirit in us is attractive
absolutely.
In that sense and
yeah.
will attract
no
those
question.
To the truth, not to any specific style that we have or any, you know, it would be extremely awkward for a college student from Iowa to try to be out there acting like they can identify
right.
with African, you know, students
right.
or,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that
yeah.
would be awkward.
Yeah.
But to be themselves and to recognize that they're just going to love people
absolutely.
Is so helpful in that,
yeah.
I think.
No question. And I think part of this too, Lisa, is the idea that this really begins with church leadership. It begins with pastors. It begins with ministry leaders, where ultimately we are teaching about the deeper implications of what it means to live out and be the gospel message. Not just accept the gospel message, but actually be the gospel message in the rhythm of our lives and the pace that God wants us to walk and run and march at, if you will. And so, again, whether that's inside the institutional church, the brick and mortar, or out in community, it's living out what the gospel is. And that's accepting everybody as God accepts them, no matter the race, the color, the racing stripe down the sleeve, whatever that looks like. I mean, the idea is to get the car around the track, and that's to love people into the kingdom of God, no matter what background, race, tribe they come from.
Yeah, good thoughts.
Yeah.
And two, remembering that whether it is a church or whether it is a campus ministry, whatever's going on, it really is to get that mindset away from, it's not a social club.
Mm-hmm.
So really to love people who may be different than you,
right.
and what does that look like to embrace them and not make it just the people that you're comfortable with or the
no
people
question.
That are easy to hang out with. I think that's helpful. You know, we even have here at Boundless, I was just looking the other day, I think it was on Facebook, looking at our demographics, and one of our largest populations is Nigerians.
No
so we've got
kidding.
Nigerians, we've got right up there is the Philippines, Malaysia. So we here at Boundless are really, I'm so glad that what we have to say is connecting
internationally.
That is
awesome. I did not realize that. Thank you for sharing.
We also
that.
Have you folks from the UK and Australia.
Yes.
We're not forgetting you, but you know, you're just out there too. We love you.
Give a shout
but,
out.
It was a huge population from specifically Nigeria and some of those other places. So we love you all. So, well, thank you, Wade, so much
you're
for
welcome,
sharing some
Lisa.
Insight on this. And all the best as you continue ministering to pastors.
Thank you so much.
We'd love
Appreciate
to get
it.
Updates on that as well. Yeah. So that is it, folks, for this week's show. Write to us at editor@boundless.org with your questions so we can address it in the future. And make sure that you're hanging out on our Facebook page and following our Twitter feed as well, because we kind of keep you up to date on what's going on through those avenues too. So that is it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.